So we're ending the Advent season. We celebrated Christmas here on Friday. So the Advent season is coming to a close. And so we're closing out 1 year, opening up a new year. We'll be celebrating that here this week, right? This is the final Sunday of 2020. On Friday, we'll bring in a new year, 2021. And who knows what that holds, right? Maybe it'll be mundane compared to 2020. Maybe it'll be more exciting than this year. I don't know if we can handle that, but... So, as we begin, I just want you to think, what is the worst year that you can remember that our nation has faced? What is the worst year in your memory, whether you experienced it or maybe just from history, that you think that our country has ever faced? When? During the Depression, so in the 30s? Yeah. 2001? Yeah. Yeah, 9/11, yeah. That was a difficult time, wasn't it? I think about the world wars. I didn't get to experience any of those, but, you know, just the lives that were lost during those world wars and the pressure put upon us as a nation. That's when women really started going to work, right? Because they worked the factories, the men went off to war. It totally changed our nation, what our nation looks like. But those are some difficult years that our country has faced. And so then we look at COVID, and it's just not just COVID, right? We've had happen this year. So we had COVID, and I remember just watching the news, watching Fox Business, and, you know, yeah, stock market's doing well. We do have this COVID thing, and maybe we'll have a little bump or something like that. It might affect the stock market, but it was kind of like, maybe, maybe not. And all of a sudden, we get into February and into March, and all of a sudden, boom, it really begins to hit our country and more significantly than probably any of us thought or imagined, right? And then we had the racial equality tensions that kind of hit during the summer. And then he had Saharan dust. I still just, that marvels me, that dust from the Sahara Desert came all the way across the ocean and darkened our skies. That just boggles my mind that could happen. And we had, California had one of its worst fire seasons on record, right? So much so that it darkened our skies and we could actually smell the smoke at different times. You could smell it. So there's a lot that's happened. Probably negatively, right? But there's also a lot of positive things that have happened, okay? I've mentioned that. Babies were born, right? You know, I finished a degree. That was a good thing. I mean, there's positive things that happened in your life, and we cannot just sweep those things under the rug in light of some of the negative things that have happened. But there was some surprises with this year, okay? There is with every year. There are surprises. But, you know, surprises are written into the whole of Scripture, all right? And that's part of life, is that we do not have the ability to see what the future holds unless God reveals it to us, right? Okay, and that's what prophecies, we see the book of Daniel. A lot of us just went through that in different small groups, looked at the book of Daniel where God revealed prophecies to him. But we don't have that luxury to know what the future holds, but God knows some of those things. And so, but there is a lot of surprises that happen to us. So I want us to just take one more Sunday in the Christmas story, looking at one of the surprises that happened in the life of Mary. So before we do this, bow our heads in prayer and just invite God's presence. Father, we thank you for this day. We pray that you would bless the study of your word today, Lord God, and that you would speak to us personally what we need to hear. Lord God, what you are speaking to us, Lord, whatever nugget that we need to hear that you have for us. We give you the thanks, the praise, we ask it in your name. Amen. And so I want to begin in chapter 1, verse 26. And this is where the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. Okay, now prior to this, I think Mary is just living her life. She's a young lady on the verge of getting married. So she could be probably in that 16, 18-year-old bracket right there, okay? Joseph, I have a feeling, was maybe a little bit older than she was, but she is just living her life, and all of a sudden, an angel Gabriel shows up on her, so, and her life changes. So let's look at this. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so the previous verses talk about the conception of John the Baptist, and Zechariah has the encounter with Gabriel as well. And so they have a child, and they're both their old age. Okay, they both were past the age of having kids, but God gave them their child, John the Baptist. So she is 6 months along. It says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. And again, Nazareth was just out of the scope of where the Messiah would be born. Everybody thought it's going to be Bethlehem, it's going to be Jerusalem. And so Nazareth is just, that's not where it's going to happen. But there was a young lady, a virgin, her name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. Wow, that's pretty incredible, right? To be highly favored by God. We can fool everybody else, but for God to say that of us is a compliment. The Lord is with you. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So Joseph was from the lineage of David. And the Lord will give him that throne. Verse 33, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. I've never been with a guy. Going to get married, but I haven't been with the guy. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who said she was unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May the word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So as we look at this passage, what are some things that we can pull out in the idea of surprise? First of all, Mary is taken off guard, isn't she? By this angelic visit, and that she's going to be with child through an unhuman means. In other words, just not a natural means. It's going to be something supernatural that is going to take place, and she is going to be with child. Can you say surprise? Surprise. Now, maybe you had an unwanted pregnancy. That is a surprise, isn't it? For her, it wasn't an unwanted pregnancy, but it was going to be a surprise because it was going to be something that was going to happen unnaturally that a lot of people would not understand, even herself. But she knew that God had spoken. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds are all have these surprises where God shows up, where the angels show up, and they're given information. And the first thing that I want that I have in the program there is when these surprises happen, what is our first response? What's Mary's first response? Is she overjoyed? What does verse 29 say? She is greatly troubled, right? When the angel appears to Joseph, he's afraid. When he shows up to the shepherds, they're afraid. And God says, what? Fear not. So that's their first principle, fear not. You know, when surprises happen in our life, that is often our first response. It's not like we say, oh yeah, all right, we're ready to take it on, God. Let's go get it, right? Car breaks down. You lose your job. Health situation, kind of like, yeah, bring it on, right? Is that our first response? Often, anxiety, fear flood our heart and our mind and our, right? It attacks us. And that is our first response. And even with Mary, she's probably never seen an angel before, as most of us maybe haven't. And so that would just take you off guard. And just even what the angel says even magnifies that. Fear not. You know, and if you Google, or if you just go to your Bible app and just type in fear not and look at all the references in Scripture for fear not, do that this afternoon. How many times, that's your homework, how many times does that come up? I can guarantee you it's a lot. And that tells us that fear often is something that we deal with as human beings, because we do not know what the future holds, and I think sometimes that is a gift from God. But the first thing, sometimes that is our first response when surprises come, when panic fills our heart. Mary is taken off guard, and God says, "Fear not, I'm with you. I'm with you." The deadly thing about fear is it just steals our peace, it robs us of our sleep, it suffocates our joy, and it creates anxiety. Do I need to repeat that? It creates anxiety, it steals our peace, it robs us of our sleep, it suffocates our joy. And often we give fear too great of a dominance in our life. God has placed fear there for a reason, okay? If there's a lion in my path, I should run, right? Right? There are times that God has placed fear in us for a good reason, to protect us and to watch over us, right? But He doesn't want it to dominate our life. He doesn't want it to control our life. He doesn't want us to live in anxiety or fear, because it steals us, it paralyzes us. So this is what he says, this is what Paul says in a couple different places. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, you can write these down. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So it literally means to build a garrison around your heart and your mind, because that's where fear and anxiety attacks, is your heart and your mind, right there. That's where we feel it. That's where we sense it. So you should actually print that off, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your bathroom mirror, because you probably need to hear this at least once a day, if you're me, okay? If you're like me, you need to hear that. Just, you know, memorizing it is great, but we need to actually have that up, because I think all too often we shift to fear instead of trusting God. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, this is out of the New Living Translation, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline." And if we can live our life like that, it doesn't mean that we're stupid. It doesn't mean that we don't take precautions. It just means that we're not allowing our life to be dominated by fear. We're not giving it an inappropriate place within our hearts. Because anxiety is a sin, folks. Did you know that? Why? Why is it a sin? Why would anxiety be a sin? It reveals what's in our heart, that we don't trust God. Because if we really trusted God, we would have no fear, right? Because we know that God is caring for us. He's going to walk us through that. The song, "Never Once." If that is what we believed in our heart, then anxiety would have no place in our heart or mind. But see, it reveals the lies that we sometimes believe in our heart. And I'm not going to beat you up with that, because if there's anybody that's been a transgressor in that area, it is me. You know, we all go through that, where we can deal with anxiety and with fear, and we have to trust God, and we have to know that He's walked us through a lot of things. He's going to walk us through this thing, even though it's a surprise. Amen? We can trust God. Secondly, verses 31 through 37, the angel Gabriel kind of, you know, Mary says, "How is this going to happen?" And the angel says, "Hey, this is what's going to happen." He doesn't give her all the details, but he gives her enough details to say, "Hey, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be pregnant. It's not going to be from Joseph. It's going to be from God, all right? And you're going to conceive and give birth to a child, and his name's going to be Jesus." What is obvious is that God knows. So what is a surprise to us and unknown to us is not to God. God was not taken off guard by COVID. He wasn't taken off guard by the racial tensions in our nation. He wasn't taken off guard by all the other things that happened in our world this year. God knew. He knew. We maybe were taken off guard, but He didn't. He knows. Nothing this year was a surprise to Him. He knew what was going to happen even before, long before it ever took place. He knew the things that Mary and Joseph would struggle with when they would give birth to the Messiah, going to Egypt and then back up to Nazareth, fleeing for their life at times. The struggles of even just raising the child. I mean, how would you like to raise a child that, you know, knows the scripture? Like, he can go into the temple at age 12 and he's debating the religious leaders, right? And, you know, having an intelligent conversation with them. How would you like to raise that child, right? You know? I have a feeling that he was a challenging kid, maybe, huh? And then just say, you know, man, I hope I'm doing this right. Every parent wonders if you're doing it right, right? You're being a parent and you sometimes wonder and question yourself. I love the book of Daniel, so we did that in our small group. But when you just go through the book of Daniel and the prophecies that God revealed to Daniel, what you understand is that God knows. He knew about events that were going to happen soon after Daniel in very detail. I mean, they were just very vivid. And yet some of those things have not yet taken place yet. Some have and some haven't. But the detail that takes place, they say, well, you know what, there's no way that Daniel wrote that when he did, when he was still living, because it's just too accurate, right? God knows. He knows what is going to happen, and so we have to trust him. So we are to fear not, and we have to understand that God knows. And what may be a surprise to you, whatever it may be, is not a surprise to him, and he's walking with you. And we have to trust him. Amen? Number 3, verse 38. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant, doulos, and it's the feminine there, or handmaiden. Okay? I've heard that expression a few times, handmaiden. In other words, she was saying, God, I may have personal dreams, goals, and wishes. Isn't that realistic to think that she had her own dreams and wishes? Right? Right? I'm sure she did. One of them, she was going to marry Joseph and they were going to have a family together. That was her dream and vision. But it was going to look a little different, wasn't it? A little bit of a hiccup there. You know, their first child is not going to be from Joseph. You know, not much of a problem. They had dreams. They had plans for their life. But Mary says, you know what? Lord, I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left. You know, both Mary and Joseph, I'm sure, had plans that involved getting married and raising a family in Nazareth, but it took on a different trajectory. It looked differently than maybe what they had thought and planned. Unexplained pregnancy, life on the run, challenges of being parents of the Messiah, all those different things. But we learn from Mary and Joseph, we learn to yield to God's plan. And I kind of brought this up in a different way a few weeks back when we talked about Joseph. Yield to God's plan. Yield to God's plan. That's what Mary did, didn't she? Now, on Christmas evening, we watched Wonder Woman 84. I don't know, anybody watched that? Wonder Woman 84? It's not too bad of a movie. Not as good as the one 2 years ago or whatever, and you have to skip over, I think, one scene there. We did, anyway. One love scene. So if you were a child of the 80s, it brought back some memories, the big hair and all that type of stuff, right? Okay. And I won't give all the details of the movie. But Wonder Woman makes a wish in the beginning part of the movie, and that wish comes true. So I'm not going to tell you how that comes true, but it comes true. But it becomes evident towards the end of the movie, in order for her to save the world, she has to do what? She has to renounce that wish. What was most precious and dear to her. She had to set that aside to save the world. So I'm not going to tell you what she does. You know, and too often we can live life saying, God, I'm going to do what I want to do, God, and that's what matters. But the kingdom of God has been advanced by those that have yielded their life to God's plans. Saul had his life all planned out. He was zealous for the cause of God, he thought. He persecuted Christians. He was doing his thing. He was gifted. He was talented. And then all of a sudden, boom, he meets God. And God totally changes the course of his life. And he would live the rest of his life going from place to place. And sometimes he was treated well. Sometimes he lived a life on the run. Sometimes he was persecuted. We know that he was put in prison for his faith. and he would die for his faith. All the apostles would face persecution. The only one that would not die a martyr that we're aware of is John. They tried to kill him, and it didn't work. And so he would die on the island of Patmos. And that's where he would write the book of Revelation. We have to yield to our life to God's plan. And it's going to look different for all of you. Some of you, maybe it's full-time ministry to be a missionary or a pastor or a teacher. For some of you, it is living out your faith where God has placed you in the workplace to be that witness for him, to be that light for him. None of those is wrong. It's just being what God has called you to do and yielding your life to him. And in that journey, we all have choices. Am I going to put myself in front of God's plan, or am I going to put God's plan first? Am I going to yield to him? We have those decisions. Sometimes, maybe the world hangs on that balance. Maybe nobody's going to notice. But those small choices show up, folks, and it changes the course of your life. Like anything, like an airline. Okay, let's just use the illustration. If a flight going from, Andy's in Tucson, so he flew, I'm assuming, from Omaha to Tucson. So if a plane just changes their flight just a little bit in their angle, right? It might make much difference in a mile or two, but in a couple hundred miles, you can end up someplace totally different than in Tucson. We have to be in line with God. Yield your dreams, your wishes, your goals to God's plans. I don't think you're going to regret it. I can't guarantee you it's always going to be easy. But God's going to walk with you. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come back. From the life of Mary, and just surprises, we see that to fear not when the surprises come our way. We learn that God knows, and to yield to God's plans. And that looks differently for everybody here. You know, Paul says, I wish everybody would follow my life and my example. But you know what? That wasn't God's plan for my life, or exactly. My life looks a little bit different than his. All right? Paul really didn't get married, right? He lived a single life. It would have been pretty hard for him to do what he did and being a married man. For some people, but that's God's will. And there's nothing wrong with that. And God has different plans and purposes for each of you. The key is you don't try and follow somebody else's plan. What is God's plans for you? And I have enough faith and confidence that God is able to reveal that to you as you seek him, as you get into his word, as you go to him in prayer. He's placed his Holy Spirit in your life, and he's able to guide and direct your life, the course of your life. He's able to help you in that process. I can't make that decision for you. You know, as a parent, sometimes you want to make those decisions for your kids. They have to find that journey on their own, right? And you have to find that on your own. You have to sense, God, what is your plan and will? I mean, there's the general will, you know, not to live a life of sin and to be kind, gentle, peaceful, and all those things. That's God's general will for all of us. But then there's that specific will. God, what are you calling me to do? My occupation, my day-to-day choices and decisions. God, what have you called me to do? And you could be in the very perfect will working in one of our factories or plants here in Crete, Nebraska, or working in the schools, or working on Main Street, working in a hospital. You are probably right where God wants you, but maybe not. And I think if you're not, I think if you go to God, and if you're not, God's going to be clear to you. He's going to say, hey, this is where I want you to go. And you're going to say, but God, I don't know where the next step's going to take me. He'll be faithful. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to desert you, right? He's going to be there for you. Amen. For some people today, that first step is just making Christ the center of your life as your Lord and your Savior, whether you're listening online or here with us today. Train's right on time, huh? maybe that's the first step you need to take. Because until we get God in the heart, our heart, and He's our Lord and our Savior, none of it's going to make sense. That's the first step. Once we take that step, then the other things become more clear. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? Just make a prayer of consecration. And I'm just going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. Feel free to join me, and then just a prayer of consecration to God, what God has spoken to us this morning. Father, this morning we just come before You. And Father, if we don't know You as our Lord and our Savior, that is the first step. When we invite You to be the Lord of our life, for You to come in and forgive us of our sins, and for You to actually be the Lord of our life, not just our Savior, but the Lord, where we follow Your guidance and Your will, Father, then things begin to make a little more sense in our life. The lights come on. And we be able to see clearly. We're able to see more clearly Your plan, Your purpose for our life, Lord God. And so, Lord God, if that's us this morning, Lord, just come into our heart. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness and be our Lord and our Savior. And Lord God, just as we come before You and we look at the life of Mary, we look at the life of Joseph, and how they were such perfect examples for us, that their life was highly favored before You, Lord, and that they were chosen to be Your instruments, to be the parents of the Messiah. And how Mary just says, God, I am Your servant. May it happen as You've planned. And Lord God, may we all have that same attitude in our life. And Lord, I don't know what 2021 is going to look like for any of us, Lord. What I do know is that You know what is going to happen, Lord God, and none of it is a surprise to You. And Lord God, You have not called us to a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. You've called us to walk in confidence. You've called us to walk in courage. And Lord God, we can't do any of that. We can't be strong and courageous like Joshua unless we know that we can trust You. We have a bedrock faith that rests in You, Lord. So, Lord God, give us that trust in You, Lord God. If there's lies in our heart, Lord God, that say we can't trust You or we're just unsure, Lord God, I pray that You would fill that with faith, Lord God, and that we can know You in that way, that we can trust You with our whole life. Just unabandonedly, Lord God, that we can trust You with our whole life. That You're never going to leave us. You're never going to forsake us. You're not going to drop us. You're not going to forget about us, God. You know exactly where we are at. You know our name. You know our zip code. You know our street address. Lord God, You know where we're at. You've called us by name. You've redeemed us. We belong to You. We are Your child. We are called by Your name. We've been called out of darkness and into Your light. We've called to be the living stones, Lord God, that reflect Your glory. We're called to be the church. We're called to be a light in a dark world that represents Your glory, Your power, Lord God. We're Your church. You've called us by name. So, Father, lead us in that. Let us be who You've called us to be, God. I give You the thanks and the praise. Build more, and I'm going to head right over there. I don't know, maybe God's speaking to several of you this morning, but I really feel in my heart that God's speaking specifically to somebody, and it's not just because, it's God just speaking to you this morning. And, you know, when I was looking at ministry, I really wasn't looking at ministry. I went to Bible college for 1 year because my mom wanted me to. I was going to be a wildlife biologist, so I've shared that a few times. I love the outdoors and things like that. But it was there that God just began speaking to my heart. And, you know, I had an uncle that was in ministry. But otherwise, my mom had been to Bible college. But other than that, you know, I hadn't given ministry even a thought. But during that first year, then God began to speak to my heart. But, and maybe God's speaking to you there. But I'm totally serious. And some of you may think, well, I've never called to be a pastor. Maybe God's called you to be a businessman. Maybe He's called you to be just a light where you are at. He's placed you there because that's the beauty, that God has placed you all throughout Crete and Sprague and Lincoln and Wilbur, Friend, Dorchester. God has placed you all out there. We can't all be at the same place at once, but you're all there and you're all a light. And anyway, but I believe God's speaking at least to one person this morning, very specifically. Maybe you're watching online. God's just speaking to you, and you're just looking at the course of your life, and you just need God's direction. So I'm going to go over there if you want prayer. I'll mask up here, and Jill, if you'd lead us once or twice more in that, and Amy, if you'd close us in a word of prayer. Still close in prayer. One of the classes we do offer here on a regular basis is it's a course on just finding, understanding your divine design. So it looks at your spiritual gifts, your temperament, kind of the different five pieces of your life that make who you are, your dreams, your temperament, your talents, and things like that. And so we'll be offering that here after the first of the year. And that really ties in well with this message, because sometimes we think, God, what's next? And sometimes that can just provide some clarity where we need to go. Amen. Praise God.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for this time that we can come and worship you, for this time that we can just stand with other believers and lift our hands and just allow you to refresh us. God, we just accept the blessing and the peace that you want to bring into our life. God, help us not to just push that out because of we're just conditioned to worry, or we're just conditioned to be anxious. God, I pray that you would allow us to release the anxiety and to start a new habit of allowing your peace to just penetrate every part of us, Jesus. And God, as we go out to the world that you have placed us in, I pray that that peace would just flow out of us and that it would touch the people that we're around. God, maybe we can't give hugs, or maybe we can't shake hands, but God, we can still allow your peace to flow from us in a way that will touch other people and bring them to you. Jesus, I pray that you'd be with us as we go about our week. Help us to be bold. Help us to be strong. Help us to look to you every step of the way. In Jesus' name.